Grasshopper New Media presents.
Ladies and gents, it's the Great Big Small Business Show, starring Becky McCray.
Welcome to the Great Big Small Business Show. I'm Becky McCray. This week's episode is all about employees and non-employees. Steve Rusinski is going to tell us about making a new hire in 30 days or less. John Swanson tells us that you gotta have heart. Ben Yaskovich is going to tell us how to find someone who will fit in with the team. And finally, we have a listener question from Sandra Otten about how to grow without employees, and I'll be providing some answers on that one. This week's episode is sponsored by iBizRadio.com. First up is Steve Rusinski, making a new hire in 30 days or less. Steve?
Hi, this is Steve Rusinski of the Small Business CEO weblog, which you can find at www.smbceo.com. My topic today is making a new hire in 30 days or less. I've worked for and with so many businesses that seem to take forever to move through the hiring process. I believe that once you commit to adding a new employee, you should move with expediency. Your business will benefit from the injection of new talent, and your candidates will certainly appreciate and share with others how effective your company is at the hiring process. I'm making a couple of assumptions here, and I want to share them before I suggest some improved process steps to you. The assumptions are: you have a job description, you have competency descriptions for the position, the compensation is defined, and you're using a web-based job posting service like Monster.com or CareerBoard.com, and you have a defined process for what you want to do during the interviews. Okay, on with my process suggestions. Step 1. Place your job listing in the online service of your choosing. Step 2. After 1 week, gather the resumes you've received and narrow them down to the 6 to 12 that you want to explore further. Step 3. During week 2, have a conference call with these 6 to 12 candidates. That's right, a conference call. During this call, you explain more about your company and answer all the questions you can and share the common information you would normally share in an in-person interview. This sharing of further information serves the candidates well. Some will even self-eliminate themselves from further consideration for the position, and it saves you calendar and interview time. Step 4. Block out enough half days of calendar time to give each remaining semifinalist 60 minutes of an in-person interview, and ask them to email you their preferred interview date and time. Conduct these interviews during week 3. Typically, after the 4 to 8 semifinalist interviews, you should be down to 1 to 3 finalists. During week 4, bring the finalists in for further interview time or group interviews or maybe just further open discussion. Okay, by now, the 30 days is almost up. You should be ready to hire. Go ahead and make an offer. The real time saver in this process is the conference call, because you're communicating in parallel rather than one at a time with both candidates, not even semi-finalists, who may not even be interested in the position. If you need help using this process, feel free to send an email to steve@smbtrendwire.com. I'd be glad to give you help at no charge. I'm Steve Rusinski of the Small Business CEO. Until next time, have a prosperous week.
Thanks, Steve, for sharing that terrific system, and thanks for offering to help our listeners. So, listeners, if you have questions about using that system, feel free to get in contact with Steve or leave a comment on our blog at gbsbs.com. You can also, of course, call our listener line at 206-666-3768. Our next segment is from John Swanson, the old entrepreneurial chicken himself, and he's going to tell us why you've got to have heart. John?
If I could sing, I'd start singing, "You Gotta Have Heart." But I can't. Not only am I the entrepreneurial chicken, I'm the singing chicken. This is John Swanson talking about employees. I gotta come clean. I haven't started a small business, but I work in one. I work in a family-owned business called the church. We have a couple of people in our office that are the primary phone answerers. And what they represent is the front line of our contact with people. And when we hired them as much as anything for heart. Heart is a congruence with the mission of the organization. Heart is a passion for the core of what your organization is about. And what those two people have a concern for is people. When people call our office and are looking for help, when people call our office and are broke, when people call our office and can't figure out what to do, those two people, Kay and Sue, provide our front line of interaction. And while they often will refer the people who call to me or one of the other people on staff, they got to know what to do right from the outset. They have to know how to handle the concerns, the complaints, the challenges, the frustrations, the pain of the people who are calling. And while we've had to teach them some skills, what they walked into the job with is heart. That's pretty true of everybody that works in our organization. Our jobs change all the time. The assignments, the work that people do, constantly in flux. In fact, all of us spend all of our time doing the duties to be identified later. I don't think any of us do what we thought we were going to do when we walked into our jobs. But what we do most of all is we care about people. We have a heart after people. And it's actually a pretty cool place to be. You never know exactly what you're going to have to do on any given day, which is pretty true of just about any small business. But what I know is that when I walk into work, I can trust everybody else that's there because I know where their heart is. As you're involved in hiring, think about heart. Try and figure out questions to ask people that will test what they really care about, what they're most concerned about. Ask them to describe what they would do in a situation that calls for the heart of your organization. I've hired people. I've fired people. I've encouraged people. I've scolded people. And in all of those challenges that we have in relation to personnel, the most important thing that I've discovered is this. You gotta have heart. This is John Swanson, the entrepreneurial chicken. I don't have the guts to start businesses the way you do, but I respect what you're doing.
Thanks, John. For more on the subject of the heart of your business, Ben Yoskovich is going to tell us how to find someone who will fit in with your team, even if the team is only two. Ben?
Hiring someone in a small business is to make sure they fit in well with the team. It's more important than absolutely anything else. Of course, there are never any guarantees when hiring someone. You could do 10 interviews, 6 background checks, tail the person with a private detective, and sift through their garbage. You might still hire the wrong person. Ultimately, a lot of things can be corrected or improved with a new hire. Fitting in with the team and company isn't usually one of them. You know, skills can be taught, goals can be set, and we can encourage people to communicate better. But fitting in with a small group of people is another story. Here are some ways that I've used to help ensure someone will fit in. Number 1, make sure they understand how your business works. day-to-day, how do things operate? That's ultimately what's important for people to understand. Is it ultra-fast-paced? Is there a specific routine? What's the style of the work environment? Is it really easygoing, or is it constantly moving and intense? Number two, make sure they understand the culture. As soon as your business has more than one person, there's a culture. There's a dynamic that the prospective employee needs to understand. I don't believe people need to be best friends to work well together. I don't even believe people have to go out together after work and grab a drink. They can, of course, and I'm certainly not opposed to that. But ultimately, that's not what's the most important here. Really, what's important is the culture inside the office. Culture also implies the type of person and their life stage. For example, it's hard to hire a 20-year-old into a company of 60-year-olds, or vice versa. In a small business, many, if not all of the employees, will be at similar stages in their life, personally and professionally. The more points of commonality that exist in this way, the more cohesive the team will likely become. Number three, make sure they understand how you work. You're the boss. In a small business, almost everything that happens is because of you. Not because you're a control freak. Okay, of course, we know you're a control freak. But because it's your business. You built it from the ground up, and every employee recognizes that the business equals you, and you equal the business. How you work and your personal style are going to be critical to that prospective employee. They have to understand it and jive with it, because your personal style will in many ways become the style and culture of the company as it grows. Number four, make sure they understand the purpose of the company. You know, I've never been much of a rah-rah cheerleader type, but the more a prospective employee understands the vision behind the company, its goals, and your personal aspirations as the leader, the better off that person will be. Number five, have another employee chat with them. This isn't necessarily an interview, but it's always worthwhile to ask an employee to take the prospect out for lunch. Let the prospective employee get an inside view of the company. And I can bet that your employee is going to learn some things from the prospect that you didn't find out yourself. And finally, number six, when doing an interview, don't focus solely on skills. You know, recently I read somewhere that bigger companies are having prospective employees do MRIs to see if they're lying. It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. I wouldn't recommend that, of course, and I'm not a huge fan of personality tests, which I've seen used before, but an interview shouldn't be just about skills. It shouldn't just be about a person's successes and failures either. It should be about the person. And ultimately, the way I see it is that the person is always going to be greater than the sum of his or her resume parts. You know, hiring people isn't a perfect science. Truth be told, I'm not even certain how much is science and how much is art. But I do know that small businesses must focus on team building and team culture, or the new employee won't last long. My name is Benjamin Yoskovich. You can find my blog at instigatorblog.com, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, Ben. For our next segment, we're going to turn to our listener line, and that number is 206-666-3768. And you can call that number with questions on any facet of business that you have. And it just so happens that this week we received a question from Sandra Otten about employees. So I'll be trying to provide an answer to Sandra's question. Sandra?
Hello, everybody there at the great, great big small business show. I'm Sandra Otten. I'm a professional diet motivation expert and an author. My company is called The Reasonable Diet. I'm hoping that you'll be able to help me address a problem that I have as a one-woman operation that is growing by leaps and bounds. I don't want the headaches of having employees for two reasons. I want you, hopefully, experts there, to tell me if they are sound reasons. And if so, how can I grow without having employees? My first reason is because I don't want the headaches of payroll, such as extra tax filings. And the second is because I want flexibility to hire experts in the area that I need experts. I have been doing everything myself. I only work with an accountant at the end of the year, but I need help. I am growing, and it's that time. Maybe I need a bookkeeper, maybe I need a professional web designer, maybe I need an editor or someone just to proof my work. Recently I bartered for someone to produce my podcast. I have two of them, and I had been producing them myself. Well, I found a virtual assistant, and do you know VAs, virtual assistants? Well, anyway, it seems like she can do a little of everything, but I'm nervous about that too. What if she organizes my files or my bookkeeping or my website in such a way that it isn't easily passed back to me? Or if some reason we part ways, and then I'm sort of like at her mercy. So I know it's a big question, maybe many questions. Maybe I should be more on target. But how do I proceed to grow my business, presumably using outsourcing in the best possible manner, without getting burned? So that's it. This is Sandra Auten of The Reasonable Diet. I bring peace of mind regarding body weight and overall well-being to men and women around the globe and can be found at www.reasonablediet.com. Thanks for your attention. I hope to hear my question addressed on your great, great, big, small business podcast.
Thanks, Sandra, for asking a really terrific question about an area that really plagues a lot of one-person businesses. How do we grow any larger when we're already doing all that we can? So I'm going to try to address your issues in the order that you presented them. And the first one was that you didn't want to hire anyone, first of all, because you hate the headaches of payroll. I can really sympathize with this because I agree. I hate the headaches of payroll. But let me tell you, the smartest solution I've ever heard is outsourcing the whole thing so that you're not handling anything in the way of payroll except writing one check and letting someone else figure everything out. And that is probably the very best way to handle payroll when you're a one-person business and want to get rid of the whole headache. Your second issue with hiring was that you still want to be able to hire experts in certain areas. And I definitely agree. Even if you hire direct employees who work directly for you, you can still hire outside help in each and every area where it makes sense. You've hit on a great one in working with virtual assistants, and your concern is very valid of that you need to be sure that the way that your virtual assistant organizes your records and maintains your information is one that is shareable, that can be passed off not only to yourself, but to the other professionals that are assisting you, whether that is legal help, accounting help, or anyone else that's going to be assisting you with your business. The solution to that is to discuss that issue initially with your virtual assistant. Don't be afraid to talk about specific file formats or specific programs that you want used for maintaining records to ensure compatibility with what you are comfortable working with. You also probably want to build in regular records checkups so that you can see that the records are being maintained in a way that makes you perfectly comfortable. That's the virtual assistant's job, is to make your life easier, so you want to be sure that they are very open to working with you on that. Your ultimate big question, Sandra, is how do you grow without employees? And I think that you're on the right track with what you're looking at, which is hiring specific people to handle specific tasks, even if they're not working directly for you. What you want to do is examine the tasks that you have in your business, and that's everything from opening mail to answering email to taking out the trash at the end of the day. All parts of that have to be added up. What you want to keep for yourself is only the parts that are uniquely you adding value to the business, adding value for your customers. That's the core. So if you keep the core tasks for yourself, you want to get rid of all the non-core tasks, whether that's bookkeeping, web design, marketing, whatever you can take out of the non-core area and give away, that's terrific. Ultimately, what you want to build towards, if you'd like to take your company away from the one-person shop, is that you'd like to build towards adding more people in the core area. so that you can multiply your potential. If you'd like some other suggestions of ways that you can delegate without hiring, I do have a list of 10 different suggestions that are on my website at smallbizsurvival.com, and it's called 10 Ways to Delegate Without Hiring. So if you can search for that, you'll also find it on our best of list. Sandra, thanks again for a terrific question. We're very glad that you called in. If any of you listening have questions about any part of your business, feel free to call our listener line at 206-666-3768 and leave us a message. You can also leave your question just as a comment on our website at gbsbs.com. That concludes our episode on employees. I'd like to thank Steve Rusinski of smbceo.com, John Swanson, who writes at levite.wordpress.com, and Ben Yoskovich of instigatorblog.com for their contributions to this week's show. This week's show was sponsored by iBizRadio.com. Everyone, have a terrific week, and thanks for listening.